My good friend Jay Brooks is in with us. How are you doing, Jay?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Although I still love the story when you were running your landscaping company and he's sitting outside of this old lady's house digging something for her yard.
Yeah, we're just planting a tree, putting a tree in, and she's sitting there drinking some iced tea watching me, and she finally comes up and says, do you ever wish you'd gone to college so you didn't have to dig holes for a living? My whole crew started laughing.
Yeah. With his master's degree in molecular biology. Although it was Clemson, so it's kind of, I can see where she got confused.
Well, you may be overselling me. I mean, basically, I have a garden, and I was available this morning.
Yeah, so that's
it. That makes you an expert for our show. Come on in.
That's good enough. But so agriculture, fruit versus vegetable, the eternal debate. So help us here, because it pairs, and we saw this yesterday. There's like a scientific definition, and then what they call the grocery store definition, and I don't know. It's all confusing, Jay. So walk us through this.
Well, they're both good. They're both healthy. Eat a lot of them.
All right. Well, there you go. That's good. But how do we know, like, get so many servings of fruits and vegetables? Well, I thought I got my fruits and vegetables, but it turns out I only got fruits. And then what are the implications for the VeggieTales? As we found out, most of the veggies in the VeggieTales are actually fruits.
Yeah, so they're fruity tales.
Yeah, it's a lie. It's a scandal in the making in the Christian community. All right. So, but both created by God and made by God.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of great verses in the Bible that talk about, fruits and vegetables, and, and typically they're really, kind of positive. Like he'll talk about the apple of my eye, or like back in the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, they kind of showed their health by eating just, fruits and vegetables, and kind of were gaining in strength over everyone else who was following the king's plan or the ruler's plan at time. So, a lot of good verses, and, we can give some later, but either way, they're both, fruit or vegetables, it's still edible part of a plant, has good nutritional benefits. You're supposed to get, 7 to 3 cups of, a day, about 18 ounces, and there's, the confusion comes up because there's a couple definitions. So there's kind of the scientific definition, which is the one I tend to go for, being
okay.
More scientific. And, the vegetables are any part of the plant that does not contain seeds. So, stems, roots, leaves, bulbs, flowers, whatever.
So asparagus would be a vegetable.
That is correct.
Okay. A carrot would be a vegetable.
That is correct.
Okay. A potato.
Yep. That's correct. And actually the potato's a great one because, technically that's a vegetable. And, so you can go eat your french fries and say, I have my vegetables for today.
Yeah.
So the fruit, now the fruit's actually, technically it's a mature ovary of a plant. So, it's basically a part of a plant that develops from the flower, and it has the seeds in it. So, the purpose of the fruit actually in nature is to provide protection for the seed and to distribute the seeds to propagate the plant. So they produce them to further themselves. And lots of times, actually, it's so that an animal will come up and eat the fruit and then either spit out the seeds or process them out the other end.
Yeah.
And that way the plant propagates.
That way it's got a little fertilizer with it.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, that's the scientific definition. And actually, if you take an apple, and the stem comes out the top, you think you're putting it on your teacher's desk, to give it to her. If you turn it upside down, underneath you can actually see the flowering structure. An apple's just a big ovary. Yeah. If you get a magnifying glass, you can look, see the petals and sepals down in there, and so it's actually just basically a giant flower that as it gets heavy it turns upside down, and then you eat it. So basically that's the scientific definition. So now from a culinary perspective, most people call vegetables anything that are savory or starchy and are eaten with the main part of the meal.
Okay.
So that's where you get into people calling tomatoes vegetables.
So this is zucchini. Where the confusion comes in.
Correct. Whereas a fruit is anything considered that's eaten for a dessert or a snack, and it's more sweet. So a lot of this confusion arose actually back in 1893. There was a big court case out of New York. It went to the Supreme Court. A local vegetable supplier, he's the largest vegetable supplier in New York, they decided to tax vegetables. And so he sued and said, well, actually, tomatoes are fruit, so quit taxing me on it. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled against him. And what they said was that we're going to use the common definition of what a kitchen would consider a vegetable. So they said, even though it's botanically a fruit, we consider it a vegetable, so we're taxing you on it.
So we can blame the government for this confusion.
Yeah.
We knew eventually it would come back to them messing things up.
It all comes back to taxes.
Yeah.
It all goes back to the court system, the Supreme Court, even back then, causing controversy.
So here we go. Fruits that are often, and as you say here, fruit can be a vegetable, but a vegetable cannot be a fruit.
That's correct.
All right. So some fruits that are often thought to be vegetables, avocados. Well, so it's possible that when Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree, it was an avocado. Because they could have been eating keto, right? And Well, you can see how they would have been tempted.
Well, I even made a little list of interesting complications. So an avocado is a great one to mention because technically it's a fruit, but we call it a, or it should be classified as fruit. We call it a vegetable, but technically it's a berry.
So it's not a fruit or a vegetable, it's a berry. So bell peppers are fruits, cucumbers, eggplants, okra, olives are fruit.
They are.
Ah, all right. So I eat some olives. I'm eating the fruit.
Here's
so
what I was going to ask you. Peas and green beans have seeds inside. So you say peas are a fruit.
They're technically a fruit.
Green beans are a fruit?
Technically, yes.
All right.
Green beans, too. Oh, my gosh.
Squash, zucchini, tomato, sweet. Now, here we go. This is different because you said potatoes are a vegetable.
But sweet potatoes and yams.
Sweet potatoes and yams are
fruit.
Fruit?
Yeah, technically, it's a different kind of structure. Believe it or not, a sweet potato is not really a potato.
Yeah.
So there's looks really like there's really some classification issues on this. Yeah.
This is why we didn't go into science. It's hard.
You know, it's just funny things like broccoli and cauliflower.
Yeah.
You know, they're vegetables, but they're actually flowers. You know, corn, you know, I work a lot with corn,
uh-huh.
and you see it driving everywhere you go. Corn is technically a fruit because the cob contains the seeds. But it's also a grain, so people usually consider it a grain, just like sunflowers. You know, a lot of people call mushrooms a vegetable, and that's actually a fungus.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. That I knew. Break them down. Edible flowers, flowers that are consumed raw or after cooking, like broccoli, chives, cornflower, cauliflower. I guess it's in the name, cauliflower, so we should have known that. Basil, yeah, obviously. Bean, okra.
Dandelions?
Yeah. People eat dandelion.
Yeah, sure. There's another debate. Is it a weed or a flower?
Yeah, dandelion greens are used a lot.
Well, that's a good one because, you know, a lot of people think about things like ginger or fennel or some of those spices. You know, you consider them spices, but they're actually a part of a root, so they're a vegetable. So a lot of spices are actually vegetables.
All right, you're going to have to help with the words on the fruits. So we have fleshy simple fruit, like grapes, bananas, tomatoes, then dry simple fruit. What is that?
Dehiscent fruits.
Dehiscent. What is a dehiscent fruit?
So those are things that there's a lot of really kind of splitting hairs on things. So it's whether it has a pericarp on it, whether it's a soft pericarp or a hard pericarp.
See, I told you the pericarp came into this, Jeff. He was arguing it didn't. I knew it
what?
Did. I don't know. What's a pericarp?
These are awful big words for Tuesday morning.
Yeah. So, but under that, peanuts are fruit.
Peanuts.
Yeah.
Beans are a fruit. Obviously, you mentioned that. Peas are a fruit. So we thought about that. We debated that they would be fruits. So we were right there. Indecent simple fruit. Wow, we probably shouldn't even be eating those if they're indecent. So sunflower, corn, wheat, rice, they're just indecent.
Wheat, rice, oh my God.
Oh, they have a thin, indecent fruit with a thin pericarp. That's probably why they're indecent. The pericarp's not covering up anything.
You can see right through it.
Yeah. And then dry, indehiscent simple fruit with a hard pericarp, like beech nuts, hazelnuts, and acorns. Accessory fruits. So an apple is an accessory fruit. And strawberries. Now, strawberry, you think would be the fruitiest fruit there is.
You know, it's funny because a strawberry is not actually a berry.
It's a fruit?
Well, a berry is a fruit. A berry is a fruit, but a strawberry isn't a berry.
It's an accessory fruit.
Well, accessory, you know, when you got that bowl of fake fruit, it's usually an apple. So it's an accessory, you know, a decoration.
Yeah. Yeah. Aggregate fruits. That sounds like something an accountant would eat. Raspberries.
Yeah, raspberries and strawberries are aggregate fruits.
So they're aggregate fruits, okay.
So I love raspberries, so what's an aggregate fruit?
You know, so it's basically where it has more than one ovary, you know.
Oh, so that's why all the little balls
on it. Each little one of it. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, well, that makes sense.
So blackberries would be the same way, too. Then.
Yeah. So, you know, you think of like a blueberry, you know, it's kind of one single, essentially one single seed, one single ovary, where something like a raspberry has a whole, or blackberry has a whole bunch of little ones all over it. But it's crazy. You know, so, you know, then the question comes up, well, if fruits are things with seeds, then is a seedless watermelon a fruit?
Well, see, that's where guys like you come in and mess things up with your Frankenfoods.
Oh, ouch. Wow. Boy, this conversation took a turn.
It took an ugly turn. Yes, you're the GMO monster. Now, I do want to address this, all right, because this is one of my bugaboos, and I know it's one of yours.
He's got a lot of bugaboos.
I was going to say, do we have time for this?
I know, but, you know, this whole...
You're making your friend uncomfortable here.
No, it's not. I'm not. I'm going to defend him.
Okay.
I want to defend him.
Oh, then by all means.
Ridiculous non-GMO garbage out there, which is, I'm going to say it. And if you're offended by this, too bad. It's nonsense.
The opinions expressed by...
Yeah, this is my opinion, not YesFM's. But I think a lot of it's nonsense. First of all, and you've told me this, you couldn't tell the difference between a genetically modified and non-genetically modified if you're just looking at the DNA and things like that, right? I mean, it's not like you're turning something into something else.
No, this is why Tommy's my favorite. Yeah, you know, actually, you know, DNA is universal. The best way I know to describe it is it's like letters, you know, because you got little A's, G's, T's, and C's that all form different amino acids, and they form proteins, and it's, you know, building blocks of life. But it's basic letters. And so the same DNA that's in you is in a plant, is in a bug, is in a fungus, and it's the letters. And so essentially you put those letters together to make words, and the same words are in the Bible that are in a romance novel. Mm-hmm. They're just put in a different order. So, you know, essentially that's what the DNA is. It's just, you know, everything's universal. It's just put in a different order, so it makes something slightly different.
So what would you say if someone say, well, you're messing around with God's creation?
Well, you know, I start by saying that one of the reasons I went into genetics was because I am amazed at God's creation. I mean, you know, there wasn't some spark out in space where some primordial ooze turned into this walking fish that, you know, did whatever. I mean, clearly in creation, God created him. You know, and in Genesis 1:12, he says that the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding after their kind, and it was good, you know. And if you look at a plant, it's amazing. I mean, it's this little thing that starts from a seed. It just takes a little bit of dirt and a little bit of air and a little bit of water and some sunlight, and it can grow itself, make its own food, clean the air for us, feed us. To me, the fact that he created all this is the amazing part. I think he gives us technology, and it's, you know, we just kind of harness it to feed the world, you know. Yeah. And so the misconception is, you know, when you have a GMO food, it's not that there's a chemical or something in it. You know, it's just the DNA is in a different order than it was originally. So, for instance, we'll put the project I worked on in grad school is, you know, we actually took rice and we put a gene from carrots in the rice. Hmm. You know, it's usually called orange rice or yellow rice, depending on, you know, the where you're at. But it basically puts beta carotene in it. So in underdeveloped countries where there's a lot of malnutrition, one of the first symptoms is blindness. And so by putting a beta carotene gene in the rice, because that's the one thing they can grow, it alleviates a lot of the blindness, you know. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and that's what I want to say, that genetically modifying these foods has saved millions and millions of lives. If you can grow genetically modify a drought resistant corn that they mm-hmm. can grow in Africa, that can feed millions of people and save millions of people from starvation.
They do things like that. Like, we put a seaweed gene in the rice so they can grow in salt water, so that areas that don't have a fresh water source can still have food.
Yeah.
The misconception is, you know, it's a marketing ploy now. There's, you know, there's really only about 9 GMO foods in the world, you know, and one of that's cotton, and you don't eat it. So, you know, so when everything you look at source non-GMO, so my best example is, you know, I love orange juice, but, you know, inevitably my favorite brand, there's a big sticker on the front that says non-GMO. There has never been a GMO orange ever. So all orange juice is non-GMO. They turn it into this marketing ploy that's kind of irrelevant.
So it's not like you guys are playing around with every kind of food you can find just to do it for fun. And if you, for example, if you can develop a corn that's resistant to bugs without mm-hmm. having to use more pesticides, that's good for the environment.
Oh, yeah. We've cut pesticide use exponentially. I mean, you know, you think of the old days, these guys in these suits spraying DDT and all these crazy things in the field that are blowing mm-hmm. everywhere, and, you know, Agent Orange to kill weeds. You know, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's all good for the environment if we can do that internally and keep things from happening. So just think about that. Now, if you want to eat non-GMO, that's your business. I'm not telling you how to eat. And if you feel better doing that, great. I'm not here to judge you.
Well, you know, that's my other point.
Just truth is,
we live in a great country that we have a lot of freedoms. And one of our freedoms is choice. You know, if you choose GMO or non-GMO, that either way is great. I mean, you know, we've been blessed really kind of beyond what we deserve. You know, at least we have the choice.
But basically, when you're going shopping, you're probably buying non-GMO anyway, because there's just not that many GMOs out there.
Yeah. Most fruits and vegetables are non-GMO.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. So you're pretty safe out there.
Yep.
All right. Well, Jay, first of all, thank you for coming in and helping
thank
us.
Thank you.
Well, get understand
muddy the waters
the difference
a little bit.
He gave us 3 pages of notes, and we wanted just a simple, here's how you tell a vegetable, here's how you tell a fruit, and you come in and bring facts and science in, and it gets more confusing. So,
well, you just keep it simple. You know, fruits tend to be more sweet, and vegetables tend to be more savory.
Well, thank you, Jay, for helping us
my pleasure.
With this